All right, School of Bible Exegesis, that's where we are at again today. We began that last week, studying the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. And I explained that Colossians was written first by Paul, and then he wrote the Ephesian letter after that. For those who don't realize it, the main reason why Ephesians is before Philippians and before Colossians in your Bible is just because of volume. The arrangement is kind of based on just how which book is bigger, not anything spiritual. Are you getting my point? All right, so let's not miss that point, all right? That's how the letters of Paul were gathered together. The longest one was put first, and the smallest one was put towards the end. That's just the way they did it. Now, so that's why we decided to start from the book of Colossians. And before I say that, let me just remind us of another point I made. I said there are three kinds of letters that Paul used to write. Some of them were personal letters. Some of them were occasional letters to local churches. And then that is in those ones, he was responding to certain needs that that particular church had. And then the last one is the last group. Three of them we said personal, occasional, and then the general ones that are for everybody to read. And a good example of that is that book of Ephesians. So when you see books like Ephesians, you will hardly find anything specific. It won't be talking specifically to any person. It will just be giving us general doctrines concerning the ways of Christianity. Now, so last time I said I would just start with that book of Colossians. And then, but you see, when I was getting my acts together, I realized that it would be counterproductive for us because of what I'm trying to do to finish Colossians and go to Ephesians. So you are going to see a thorough mix-up from now. Do you understand? And eventually, we will go down to leading with the book of Ephesians. Okay? Even though we started with Colossians, along the line, we hand the baton over to the Ephesian letter. And that will be our main thrust. Because if you look at both of them, there are many things he said in one letter that are repeated in the other letter. Just that one was tailored to address a particular problem somewhere, and the other one just talked about it generally for every Christian to know. So for that reason, today, if you allow me, we'll just read from where we stopped in the book of Colossians. We'll jump some verses because my aim is to group some things, all right? If I find him talking about something here and then talk about it later, I may jump to read that letter one just to add it together. And even though we'll come back to it later, okay? But what we are just trying to do, we're not trying to do systematic theology. We just want to understand doctrine. That's just my own. That's my own purpose in this reading and these teachings. Let's understand doctrine. Let's understand what God says. Let's understand what the scriptures say concerning some things. Let's know the mind of God as he revealed it to Paul. Let's know the mind of God as revealed in the scriptures so that we will be able to live in a manner that is worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, so we can bear fruit in every good work and always increase in the knowledge of God. If we don't have understanding, Jesus said, you err not knowing the scriptures, and therefore you do not understand the power of God. So that's the aim. So let's continue. If you have your Bibles, please open it to the book of Colossians chapter 1. I am going to read from around verse 11. The translation I'm reading is New Living Translation. There's a word I used last time. I forgot to use another word. There's what they call a paraphrase in Bible interpretations. I use the word interpretation, you understand? A Bible translation. But that's what I was trying to say anyway. The word that's used most of the time is paraphrase, okay? All right, Colossians chapter 1, I'll read again from New Living Translation. My usual translation is New American Standard, but let's just read the New Living Translation. Let me start from verse 11. We'll just continue from around where we stopped. He said, we've read this one, but I just want to, overlap it a bit. He said, we pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He said, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people, and that is the saints. He said, who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. If you read a more usual translation, let me just add that one. He said, he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He now said in verse 15, back to New Living Translation now. In verse 15, New Living Translation, Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. That these are the things we can't see. God made them through Christ. He said everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ, he says in verse 18, is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. A more usual translation will say the firstborn from the dead. So, that is for this reason, he is first in everything. That is, in everything I have said, talking about the creations, visible things and invisible things. What are the invisible things? Kingdoms, rulers, authorities, things in the unseen world. And then the things that we can see. He also said, even the church is his body. This Christ is the head of that church. And he's supreme over all that rise from the dead. He said, for that reason, he's first in everything. That's what I'm going to say. In everything, Paul went through analyzing every possible thing you can think of and said, Christ is first in everything. He's supreme over all. He said in verse 19, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. That is, the fullness of God, the Bible says, was the Father's good pleasure for it to dwell in Christ. And through him, verse 20, God reconciled everything, not just everybody. The Bible says he reconciled what? Everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. It now said, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And now he says you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Please, let me just explain this. You will see that Paul was describing what God achieved in Christ. In fact, let me just finish reading because it's good. We'll get a good flow of this because I intend to stop reading in somewhere in chapter 2. So get ready for me, all right? We're just going to read for a while. He said, now you are holy and blameless as you stand before him, and he sees you in Christ without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. If this thing that God is saying about you in Christ is going to be real, say if it's going to be real, you must continue in faith and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away. Don't entertain any other opinion. Don't let anybody say to you that your sins of yesteryears are coming to find you out. Let nobody say to you that the curses over your ancestors, they are pursuing you till today. Don't let anybody say to you, Paul said, what God has done for you, if it's going to be real in your life, ensure you continue to believe this truth. What you believe is what controls your life. If you believe what is true, the truth of God's word, the power in it will eventually be manifested physically. But if you let somebody else take you away from Christ, let me just say this before I continue reading. One thing you will notice, if you go through that Ephesians and Colossians, the two letters which I said are very close to each other. I said the book of Colossians was written specifically, all right, it was written specifically to address a problem that was brewing in the Colossian church. And what was that problem? All kinds of things were being mingled with Christianity. That was the problem. There were all kinds of people there. Jews were there, Greeks, mostly Gentiles, because I believe that because apart from the situation of the church, that is physical location, you will see later on Paul explained that even you Gentiles have been brought in. So it was not just a Jewish church. There were Jews there anyway, but there were also Gentiles. And they were bringing in all kinds of thoughts. They were telling people what they needed to do, all right, so that God will love them. They were telling people what they needed to do so that they would be able to contact the realm of the spirit. And there were all kinds of methods. If I say this, it will surprise many Christians. Many of the things we are doing today, they just fall into that category. People expect that if they fasted, all right, and gave offerings, God will hear them. You understand? Thereby, what they have done is to take away from Christ. No, that's a matter of fact. There are churches that are built on a mixture. I don't want to mention names now. They are not churches. They just are not churches. They can't be churches. They cannot be churches. Churches where people say offer animal sacrifices. I mean, are you people all right there? Yeah, it's true. I mean, and they put the word. I don't know how they manage it. You hear names like Sierra Church of Christ. And you go there, when you have problems, you offer sacrifices, animal sacrifices. What is the Christ in it? It should be Sierra Church of Goat, Church of Chicken. Do you understand my point? We mingle all of these things together. And we say it's a church. And then now what we have in modern days is Church of Money. You know, there's the sacrifice. All of these things so that God may hear us. And Paul said, no. Everything is in Christ. And that's what the whole gospel was about. That is that particular epistle. He wanted people to understand that everything is in Christ. If there's an ozone layer problem on the earth, it was solved in Christ. If there are meteorites heading for this earth, trying to crush it to pieces, which they try to threaten us with every time you watch television, they'll say there is maybe Schumacher Levy 9. There's a particular asteroid called Schumacher Levy 9, all right? So don't think I'm just kidding. There are times I'm kidding with names, all right? But that one isn't real. There's a particular asteroid called Schumacher Levy 9, all right? So they have different ones. They normally label them after the astronomers that discovered them, all right? Okay, no. It can be confusing, astronomer or astrologers. Astrologers are mystical people. Those are spiritual things. Astronomers are physicists, all right? And the people who observe the stars physically. So they tell that there's a particular one. It is currently, maybe, sometimes when you hear how far it is, you say, why are you telling me about it? It might collide with the earth in 500 years. So you look like, how is that my problem? So we have to preserve the earth for the generations after. And if you ever saw, there's a particular film that Bruce Willis starred in. All right, he and his fellow, they used to drill for oil. They knew how to drill. Anyway, the scientists found out that there's a particular asteroid that was coming to hit the earth. And if it impacts the earth, that's the end of mankind. Because really, those things pack a lot of punch, all right? If they hit maybe one or something that you think is just about a big boulder about the size of maybe Enugu in diameter, if it hits the earth at a bad spot, you would think they threw in 20 nuclear weapons at the same time because of the speed with which it's coming. You know that kind of thing. Now, so they said, okay, they needed to go and land. This was a massive one, and it was going to hit the earth. So they needed to go and intercept it and blow it up. And because it's so big, and you have to be careful to shred it to pieces. Because, if you remember your physics from secondary school, those of you who bothered to pay attention when you were being taught, I paid attention, right? So I still remember. They said if you broke a flying projectile into pieces, one of the pieces will continue in the original trajectory. If you remember that, I still remember that, and I didn't know why God did it like that, but that's how it is. So it was in that film also. So they had to break it so that anyone that's remaining coming down towards the earth, they'll be very small. So that they would burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. The only way to achieve it was to drill into that asteroid and then plant the nuclear bombs deep inside so that it will shatter the thing to pieces. That was what the film was about. You understand? All right? that's just the thing about the film. So, you know, those are things that are against the Earth. You know what the Bible says? Let me tell you, Christ is good, though. Amen? If I'm the one that watched that, I would look at it. I say, don't worry. Unless we are continuing our sins. Otherwise, God has reconciled that asteroid to himself. That's what he said. It's in my Bible. He has reconciled everything, including asteroids that are planning to hit the earth in 500 years' time.
And that's why I'm not afraid. When they talk about, you know, global warming is going to kill everything, I said that's the problem when people don't read the Bible. If you read the scriptures, you'll understand that God has reconciled everything to himself. So if you find things still going the other way, it's because mankind are denying the truth and they are not walking according to the truth that is revealed. But for those of us who understand it, he said you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. If enough of us will understand this truth and stand by this truth, all these things that they are telling us will never happen. That's a matter of fact. They will not happen. Not because the scientists don't know what they are saying, when it actually, most of the times, they don't. But even when they do, we have something, we have information that they don't have. And what is that information? That in Christ, God has reconciled everything to himself. So nothing will ever go against the will of God. That's what he was trying to say. Now, please, what am I emphasizing here? So people, when they don't understand this, they start bringing up all kinds of thoughts, okay? And Paul was trying to explain to the Colossians, everything you require is in Christ. People say that if Jesus is not listening to you, you talk to his mother. Are you getting my point? And then the mother will be able to help you and negotiate with her son. You understand? And they will now come down with human mindset, you know, earthly mentality, that you know, mothers, no children, no mothers, children, no a son and the mother relationship, or around, let me not say anything. Because I have seen sons that shoot their mothers. That is a matter of fact. So let's not use common sense to subvert what God has spoken. God said it like this: there is no human being, whether it's his mother or not, whether it's his father, that is close to Christ in elevation. That's what he said. He said Christ is superior to everything. And if you ever want to talk to the Father, you have to come through Christ. That's what he's saying. And he now says something here, very, very important. We'll get to it in a moment. Okay, let me just press pause. I'll get back to it in a moment. So he was saying that verse 23, you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you hear the good news. That assurance, don't drift away. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. And then just by the way, this is not the main message, I just want to drop it. Everybody has been appointed by God to do something on the earth. It's not just Paul. Every single one of us. We're not going to talk about that. He now said in verse 24, I am glad when I suffer for you in the body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. Now, sorry, please. There's something I think I jumped. Yes. Okay. I'm still reading, right? I've not started teaching. Just I started talking. Okay. Because I realized I jumped this verse 18. I'll get back to it. Now, he said, okay, maybe before I go down to verse 24, let me just pass a comment about that verse 18. Yeah, it'll be a good time. Now, please, just press pause for a moment. I was talking about that Christ. So Paul now said something here. God has reconciled everything to himself in Christ. Everything that, okay, he said everything, all right, was made by him. And now he has reconciled everything to himself in Christ. Now, when he was talking about everything, he now said Christ, in verse 18, is also the head of the church, which is his body. Now, I want you to understand something here. The emphasis he was laying in my understanding, all right, is that the church is the earthly connection, all right, of Christ. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. He said Christ is the head of everything. He now says he's also the head of his body. What was he trying to say here? The body is part of Christ. Are you getting my point? Yes, the body is part of Christ. What it means, therefore, that the church of Christ, if they understand their position on the earth, they are higher than any other human structure. I don't know whether you got that point. Yes, that is it. They are higher than any other human structure. Higher than any other authority on this earth. That was why, Paul would tell you that a church can deliver a person over to Satan for destruction of the flesh. They have that kind of authority. Listen, there was a time that Elijah looked and said, except by my word, there will be no rain. You know, the problem we have in Christianity is lack of understanding. If you see the way they talk about this Islamic threat, it's embarrassing to Christianity. It's an embarrassment. They talk as if the only reason why we exist is because Islamists have not remembered us. I know every little thing. Look, I'm going to stay here for a moment, all right? So we'll go back. Yes, because in Nigeria today, it's very annoying. It's very, very annoying. Let me just beg you again. Anytime they forward something to you about a Christian got killed in Zamfara, you tell the person, Christians were killed in Jerusalem. What's your problem? And we are here today. Now, I'm going somewhere. Don't let anybody make you afraid. You say, kneel down and pray. Tell the person about what? No, ask simply, about what? Because the first prayer point will have been, God, the Muslims who killed that Christian, have mercy on them. They don't know what they are doing. But we don't pray that one. You know, the way Christians react, was it your son yesterday, you and Israel? I said, you know, the head of, you know, you have Khan in Nigeria. Then you also have the head, the Islamic people. They call the JNI, the Janmatus, anyway, you know what I mean. The Sultan is the head and all of that. The Secretary General spoke the other day. I felt very bad. Not about him now, what he was saying. I mean, I was not angry with him, but I was angry with believed Christians, the way they react. He was just trying to refute some of the things they said. And whether he's accurate or not, but you see, you have to have a victor's mentality. And he was just explaining a point. That why do people turn everything to fight of Muslims against Christians? He said, are there no criminals all over the country? I don't know whether you get my point. He said, two men went, okay, they killed somebody. Why are you saying, just because they are Muslims and the other fellow is a Christian, who said it's a fight of Islam against Christians? The man was talking. He said, they said they killed somebody in Kano. He said, it is true. He said, but they said they beheaded the person. And the guy said, it's a lie. The woman was not beheaded. The one that they said they fought in Kano, you understand, that the man was stabbed because he was not fasting. They said the thing happened in a beer parlor. You know, the way the picture was painted, the man was in his office, a carpenter working. Then he took a break to eat. They now came and stabbed him there because he was not fasting. And the man was so upset the way journalists don't do investigation before they write things. And of course, now, whether he's telling the truth or not is not my issue. One day somebody said something that there was one video that was going around. I don't know how many people saw that video. Of which a man was denouncing Muhammad. That Muhammad is this. He was insulting him up and down. How many people saw that video? And they said, quickly watch it. They will soon remove it from YouTube. Did you get that thing? They said, quickly watch it. You will soon remove it from YouTube. When I saw it, somebody forwarded to my brethren's group. When I saw it, I replied. If you know my own attitude. I said, okay. Thank God for this man's video. I said, what has he said now to impress me about what? He said that now he does not believe, all right, anymore, that he's been deceived all the while as a Muslim. What is that information for me to be sharing with you? A Buddhist said they now found out that Jesus is actually the Messiah, is not a Buddha. I said, okay, I'll be following. Guys, they have found out. Do you understand? Christians, no. The way we behave, we behave like grasshoppers in their sight. Are you getting my point? He said, we are like grasshoppers. So that grasshopper in their sight, what I'm talking about, a phrase. We behave as if we think we are grasshoppers. He said, quickly watch it, before they remove the video. I told somebody, who cares whether they remove the video? Somebody now finally forwarded some that thing is a fat lie. The man was speaking in Arabic. He was cursing Mohamed Morsi, the former Egyptian president. His fight was against Morsi. But because he was speaking Arabic, the man who was subtitling it lied to us in English. And you see Christians forwarding it up and down. Even before I found that one, I said, look, it makes no difference to me. It was one brother that just sent another link. I said, we shouldn't mind that. It was a marketing gimmick for a book. And that book, the moment people watched that video, they started ordering the book on Amazon. The book was selling based on a video lie. Because the man was speaking Arabic. We couldn't hear him, so they were typing what he was saying in English. And Christians were so happy to forward up. You know, like, yes, we finally found out at last that Jesus is Lord. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That is the mentality that's hurting the church. They don't have this victor's mentality. And that's exactly what Paul was teaching here. That guys, this Christ that we said is the head of all things. You want to see him on the earth? Let me show you where he is. The church is his body. Are you getting my point? Please, let's never forget it. Let's have that winner's mentality. Let's not have this victim, they are coming after us mentality. I noticed something. You know, I talk about my friend Pastor Courage all the time. I noticed that he has never, one day, just yesterday I thought about it. He has never, one day, forwarded anything to people. Please pray for us, we Christians in North. And he's in Sokoto. See, people that can't identify River Niger, River Benue, forwarding things to you. They've never crossed it. They were born in Onitsha, grew up in Asaba, went to school in Benin, came back to Enugu. Occasionally went to Lagos and came back. All their life, Lagos to Port Harcourt is a straight line. Their whole career can be drawn on that straight line. I'll be forwarding to you what they are doing in Zamfara. The man who lives there has never forwarded one to me. I was telling you the other night, when he finishes church on Sunday, he in Sokoto, he will enter his car and drive 4 hours to Zamfara to go and preach and come back to his house in Sokoto at 11 p.m. He has never forwarded anything to me. Pray for me. He has never. You think he hasn't seen things? He and I, we talk, we chat, he gives information, but all this panic that we are throwing everywhere is victim's mentality. Let me tell you the problem. I'll keep teaching it. The problem in the church, the problem in the world, the problem in Nigeria is that the church people are too... I'm supposed to find me a word now. Okay, you don't know what I want to say. All right. They are not serious. Let's just put it like that. I don't know what else to say. They are not serious. They are so concerned with, I must build a house. Me too, I must go for holiday in America. They are not living the life of Christ. They are not. That's why when you see them inside politics, you see exposure, disgrace. They hardly go into politics and say, I will return poor if necessary. Let me just stand there and declare the life of Christ that is in me. Let it manifest like Joseph. Like Daniel. Let them investigate me and not find one naira. No! He too goes in there, comes back and builds a house. Telling me about Islamic threat. His pastor is just worse than him, you know. Twist the word of God every day to collect money. And they're telling me about Islamic threat. David Paulson said, listen, that the reason why God is going to give, well, he was speaking about UK, but let's talk about Europe. He said the reason why God is going to give Europe over to Islam, he was speaking about UK, I'm the one explaining to Europe, is so as to purify the church, that the church only grows when they have threats. That prosperity doesn't let them think. Everybody just sitting down there be discussing whether we should ordain homosexual bishops. And it's a discussion. One day I went from where singles, you know, these singles program things they do. I don't know which, you know, I pointed them with the program, but I'm going to just call it single. But I went for one single of these singles meeting. And that was the topic of discussion. So the pastor who was hosting it said, okay, today, it was like everybody will ask questions, you give opinions. He said, there's one guy, hypothetical situation, whether it's real or not, I don't know. They said that, there's one guy, he's engaged to one lady. Christians are supposed to be. And that girl said, listen, no sex before marriage, Joe. And the boy said, he understands perfectly and he's agreeable. But he's got to have it. So since she will not agree, he has found another girl that will be getting his satisfaction from, his inoculation, his blood supply. Are you getting me? So that is now the arrangement. So the discussion is that what should she do? I told my friend, let's go. I said, so we have to discuss that one. I don't know whether you get my point. I just looked at the guy, I said, laddie, when you are ready, because we came in his car. Laddie, when you are ready, let us go. And that is the program I've been hearing about. I've been hearing about, if you come for this singles meeting, the talk was everywhere. Me too, someone, I saw laddie, he had the car. This was those days, I didn't have one. I said, Ladi took him. He said, there's this program. I said, okay, I've heard of it, let's go. We reached there that day. You see that when I head out, after the praise, worship, and everything, the pastor came up and introduced the subject. I just turned to Ladi and said, when you are ready, I'm ready. The guy looked at me and said, of course, by that time, everybody was coming up. You see, hiya! No wonder God sent Boko Haram. If you were God, wouldn't you send Boko Haram? When your children gather to be discussing that kind of discussion. If it was Paul, Paul said, all of you join your hands. We cast him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. Maybe his spirit will be saved. That's what they will have been discussing. Now what should she do? You are still standing there discussing. That is the problem with the church. It's not Boko Haram. It's not Islam. There's no Islamic threat. There's none. There's only, we should be afraid of the judgment of God. That's what we should be afraid of Islamic threat. The church is his body. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. When they are serious, when the pastors will handle this word the way, you know the way, have you ever seen it? A surgeon wants to operate? Oh no, forget it. Okay, yeah, surgeon you can use. Or you find a pharmacist in his factory trying to prepare drugs. The way they purify everywhere, filter even the air that's going into where they're compounding drugs. The surgeon washes his hand as a rule. Now listen, the gloves that surgeons wear, they are sterile. Gamma radiation sterilized. You see, they put it there, sterilized with gamma radiation. Killed off everything that can grow inside there. Sterile. But before he can wear it, he washes his hands from the tip of his fingers to his elbow 3 times under running water. Then wears a sterilized gown. Why? He wants to handle human medicine. We want to handle the word of life. We'll be handling it anyhow. We'll throw the word on the ground. Say, oh boy, word, come. We'll take you raise money today. Pastor needs a new car. We dirty the thing anyhow. They will not be saying there's Islamic threat. Listen, this Christ, he said, is the head of the church. The emphasis there being the fact that the church is part of that Christ. Let's have that mindset. That's my own. Don't worry. Listen. If you purify our hearts, purify everything, walk in righteousness, and we just read Psalm 2, you know, people will just die around us. We'll be the ones say, God, the one we don't kill, don't do. I'm serious. I've told the story again and again of why MK Abiola could not make it to be president in Nigeria. It wasn't because of Babangida. It was because some Christians said, no, not here. They recall to mind his sins during the days of OIC. If you know the power that Christians have, sometimes they use the power of even me, I'm afraid. I'm not kidding. Sometimes the way they use it, I start praying, Lord, is that the right thing to do? I told the story of one on campus. I didn't hear the story while I was there. It was shortly after. But this guy who told the story was in school at the same time as mine. He gave me the names. There's one of the pastors, if I mention the pastor in Port Harcourt now. One girl said she was girlfriend to a cult member. She gave her life to Christ. The cult boy said that he won't leave her alone. You know the way cult boys like to do. The girl went to church and went and reported. They joined their hands and prayed against him. He tried to cross the express road. A car knocked him down and he died. That was the end of his life. That's what the kind of power Christ has, not this joke. We come to job using the word of God to raise money. The girl came and reported. The guy said, okay now, boys, join your hands. They cursed him in the name of the Lord. He wanted to cross UBTH to go and buy medicine. A car coming from Lagos raised him up, hit his head on the express road. The boy died. The girl was free. One brother, Shay, a cult man slapped him. He looked at him and said, next year you won't be a student. That the end of that year, the Williams woke up and rusticated all of them, dismissed that boy specifically. Because Shay looked at him and said, you slapped me. This is your last year as a student in this school. Why don't we have power anymore? We are busy building churches, building this, building that, raising money, buying big cars. Not them Islamic threat. When Dasuki was harassing Christians in Sokoto, I heard the testimony recently. Archbishop Dasuki flew there and went and warned him. He did not listen. Abacha deposed him. You don't know how God works. The time one governor in Nigeria, all right, was making a Duke. Listen, he's a Christian. No? He was committing adultery. His wife went to church and reported. The elders called a sitting governor to come and answer the charge of adultery from your wife. He was doing shoulder like governor. The boys, they excommunicated him, the men in the church. Next day, trouble blew open in the state. Obasanjo kicked him out of seat. Because some elders gathered and said, this boy is very stupid because he's governor. I'm not kidding. That's the kind of thing we are supposed to be doing in that way, that the church man is taking Islam. Where were we? I was just emphasizing something about verse 18. Forget say I did vex. It's just, you know, when you see the way Christians talk, every little attack against, they forward it to you. Trying to tell you, pray. I say, you're not telling me to pray, you're telling me to panic. Are you telling me all these years, Muslims are not giving their lives to Christ? There's a book I have, Dreams and Visions. That's the title of the book. You see how Jesus walking to people's homes in the heart of the Islamic world and converting them. You find, that's why I found Christians who go for Hajj every year. There's one particular guy. Every year he goes for Hajj. When they are moving around Iraq, he's walking with them. And you talk to the person next to you. Do you have any problems you want God to solve? That one will say, Abba, I have. That's why I'm here. So I can pray for you. They are walking around the Hajj. Person, please pray. It's all right. But I just need to let you know. The only name I know to pray in is Jesus' name, name of Jesus. Do you mind? They never mind. He said every year he goes for Hajj. Every year, doesn't miss it. That's his own evangelism field. Look for the book, Dreams and Visions. Now you know that Jesus is not sleeping. All this harassment of the world, he knows why he's allowing it to happen. So the church shouldn't just sit down and be thinking that they are weak people. No. No. Listen, go and read. Read that book. You will know that this God is, Jesus is not sleeping. He's indeed the head. He's supreme over, all this one, he just watched and said, don't worry. He just looking and said, don't worry, very soon this will be over. Communism made more noise than this. I closed them up when I was tired. I just want us to understand. Let's leave this victim's mentality. Victim's mentality. We are oppressed. We are marginalized. Is that the headline I saw on the Sun newspaper today? Please, Christians, never talk like that. Leave sinners to be feeling like victims. They are under. When you sit down, go to greet him, say, you are my friend. My pastor said you are doing the kind of thing I should be doing. Then don't say, Rankano. I heard, Alhaji, God bless you. I heard you have been in a refinery in Lagos. Are you thinking about building a power plant in Enugu? Yes, this guy don't missing there. So I told the man wanted to open a cement factory in Ebonyi State. The natural resources that God gave to us, our children. Now children go chop up. Yes, now they will eat it now. We'll have made the state rich. Build more massive factory there. The man last year, only him paid 53% of all the solid minerals income that federal government got. All the money federal government made from solid minerals, only him paid 53% of it. That the rest of the country put together, they were not up to what he paid. So they need to let him doing. No, we will not be oppressed. Poverty will oppress you. Don't forget all of these things. Oh God. Please let us read the book of Colossians. Making Jesus look like he's hungry and weak. You know this Christ, you know? Go and read about him in the book of Revelations. He's an angry guy. In the book of Revelations, see him. John the Baptist saw him and did not recognize him. This was the person he used to rest on his bosom. Did I say John the Baptist? John the Baptist will have understood. It's John the Beloved I'm talking about. John the Beloved, the man used to, you know what it means rest on the bosom, like the way they used to eat those days, the way they recline. So he's the one that was closest. So because they didn't have straight chairs like this, they rested. So you see it in Arabian films, you know. So he's the one that used to lean closest to him. So it was the one that Jesus could tell things, say, don't mind Judas. That money is not complete. Judas that took it. Don't worry, I won't say anything. Only John knew. Because Peter knew. Judas for the fund. The Lord is good. Please, okay, let me preach this, my Colossians message. When John saw Jesus in Revelation, he was afraid. They had to be telling him, don't be afraid. He didn't recognize him. The hair was different. The hair was white. He said, like wool. He said, the feet looked like bronze out of fire. The eyes were blazing red. A sharp double-edged sword was coming out of his mouth. And he held the seven stars, which were the seven churches, in his hand, one hand. John fear. The Muhammad will fear. Buddha is saying wrong. There's nobody that's not afraid of him. And he said the church is his body. The Lord is good. Let's continue reading. Where were we? Verse 24. Paul said, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. That is, everything Paul was going through, it was just so as to bring the body of Christ to a particular point. He was trying to feed them with the knowledge of truth. He said, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. That gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Let me read it in a common translation so you know the one we are referring to. He said, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So New Living Translation says about verse 28, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. That is, my struggle, my work, is not by my own strength, but I depend on Christ's mighty power that works within me. In chapter 2, he wanted to emphasize that further. In chapter 2, verse 1, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea. For many other believers who have never met me personally, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. Did you notice that? God's plan is what? Christ himself. Say, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so that no one will ever deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Now, I'm going to stop reading here for now. The other portion I want to read is the book of Ephesians, but let me just pause for a moment. Let me complete reading something in that Colossians. Quickly go down to verses 11 to 15. I'll need to read that. He said, when you came to Christ, we'll go back to the one we are jumping later, when we'll come back. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised. It's a matter of fact.
Paul said the coming to Christ for the believer is circumcision, and not by physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God which raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all your sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against you and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Listen to this. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual powers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. How did Christ disarm all the witches that were against you? He said he cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. That was how he did it. That was how God freed us. Now, let me just get back to where I said and where to continue from. Here we go. We have many. It's school of Bible exegesis now. We should read the Bible, right? Okay. Open to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read it in a moment, but let me just pass a few comments. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I will not read that one from the beginning because that talks about the prayer. Well, I won't read the whole chapter, I want you to see. I will jump a few, and then let me read from verse 1 to verse 12. Let's start from verse 3. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. That word again, Christ, is showing up again. I hope you are seeing it. Even before he made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure, that is, in doing it. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased, again, remember, our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. He said, God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everyone together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. That was the plan it had. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Remember that plan, all right? Now, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, should bring praise and glory to God. Let me just stop here, and then I will read one more portion of that Ephesians. Yeah, go to chapter 2, and I said I was going to jump a portion of it. I read the first 10 verses. It said, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Now, the one we jumped is the prayer he prayed, which we analyzed the other time in the book of Colossians. So I don't want to read it now. It said, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. He said, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Prosperity is not a reward for the good things we have done. Healing is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, his handiwork, he was saying. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let me just add that. You don't prosper because you gave. You prosper so you can give. Are you getting my point? That's what he was saying. Now, I'm happy we have read all of this. It's quite some lengthy reading, but it's good. Let's read it, all right? Let's read it. Why did I read that one again? Now, these are the points I wanted to make today, okay? I was just passing those comments as I was going on, all right? Now, last time when I was speaking, I explained something about the deliverance that we have in Christ Jesus. And, you know, if you notice everything we have been reading, which is why I went to that book of Ephesians also and added it to it, what Paul was just explaining again and again is that it's what God did for us in Christ Jesus. I emphasize that Christ, he said, is the head of all creation. There is nothing that exists that was not created through Christ. If there is structure in the spiritual realm, it was created through Christ. And he emphasized that Christ has a body. And so anybody who wants to participate in the victory and the authority that is in Christ just comes into his body. And what is that body? His church. And we've been emphasizing that. Now, what does it mean for us to have something in Christ? We can see through everything we have been reading, Paul will talk about this. You were saved in Christ. Your sins were forgiven in Christ. When God wanted to show his love, what did he do? He delivered you in Christ. He kept on using that word, Christ and Christ, you know, again and again and again. That was what he kept on emphasizing. That all the plan that God ever had is, you know, is encapsulated in Christ. Everything that God planned for human beings, you find them in what? In Christ. When God wanted to rearrange the ozone layer and make sure that a global warming doesn't kill everybody, he sent his son to the cross. And he died for the sins, not only, now he died for the sins of the whole world, but the reconciliation was not only for people, but for even physical things and structures on the earth. What was he trying to say? Christ is everything. You can't add to him. All you can do is discover more of him. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
That is why it is crucial. Listen, when you want to give testimonies, don't let your testimonies take away from Christ. And that's what Christians do it all the time, which is the reason why actually I felt like doing this teaching again. So that people will look at exactly what the Word of God says. Let's look at how spiritual things work. You see, one that has been causing confusion to people, like I said it here some time ago, people tell stories that are not processed through the supremacy of Christ. I gave an example some time ago, right here when I was teaching. That you hear people tell stories. There's a particular man I have in mind now. I've heard him preach a number of times. Saw him on TV, seen him physically, when he wants to start telling stories. He'll tell you that, do you know why you're having problems? There was one girl, when I went to Lokoja the other day to preach, all her life she has been sickly. Then finally, they found out that the father had a first wife before he married her mother. And then they quarreled. And when she was going, she placed a curse upon any woman that will sit on her seat in that house. And that's why the girl has been sickly all her life. When her mother came in and gave birth to her, the curse came upon the girl. And then, you see, and if you are here, you have been having problems. You need to know whether your father married somebody long before they married your mother. And you finish that story. Start on that story. I was preaching the same message. The other time I was in Makurdi. And I explained it. And one girl came to me and said, man of God, that's what's been happening. And I told them what to do. And they went home. And they went to the place where that woman used to sleep. And they broke the bed. And they set it on fire. And after that, the girl became free. The other day, I was in Port Harcourt. I was preaching. When they start like that, the word Christ is so missing the whole story. Now, when people like me come up to speak, I've heard people say before, say, this man does not know African demons. I said, I know African Christ. I don't need to know the African demon. No, I'm serious. People told me that I didn't know. Somebody came to report them to me.
That guy is the one who finished preaching. Some of my friends were going in the car. They said, this pastor does not know African witches. When I came back next day, I was ready for them. I went to preach in Lagos. Actually, one man, he asked a question afterwards. I was trying to explain that a true prophet never points accusing fingers to say, this is the man that's causing your problems. Any prophet doing that does not know the power of Christ. He doesn't know the power of Christ. Now, why am I saying these whole stories, all right? Now, this example I gave here then. There are people say of these stories, and do you know the truth? Many of those stories are real. They are genuine. What is just missing is that the afflictor and the afflicted, both of the, thank you, the afflictee, both of them are outside Christ. The stories are genuine. I said something before, and let me say it again, I'm not kidding. There's a particular judge in Nigeria. They're always looking for who stole your placenta. Who buried your placenta? Where was it buried? Who was sitting on the stool that your mother gave birth on? Do you know where the stool is? The cloth with which they cleaned you when you were born. Do you know who took it? Yeah, that's what they do. Then now you begin to pray. Begin to burn them by fire, by fire. You know, let me tell you the truth, eh? Have you noticed that most of the traditional doctors in Enugu, where did they come from? Yorubaland. Thank you very much. I know where I'm going. Please allow me to preach some tribalism, small, just small, little. You'll see why it's important. The same way they were doing all this traditional medicine, that the same way they carried it to church. But they did not know how to separate those things from Christ. Listen, when I was a little boy, when we go and watch drama, you know, in American film, what do you watch? Chinese, what do you watch? You kill my father. When we are watching your movie, it's always pot. It's pot. Kaori. I'm telling you, calabash. One man will be walking in the bush, carrying one leg up, disappear. I'm serious. When we're children, you know, when you want people to love each other, Indian film. You want to watch Indian film. You know now. You want to watch fight? Chinese film. You want them to shoot somebody? American film. You want to see juju? Yoruba film. Herbert Ogunde, his films. You know, you talk about Harry Potter. We were doing Harry, no gate man, not only Potter. We're Harry gate man, Harry everything. In Lagos, yeah. That woman came and stole small, wrote book, became billionaire. Say Harry Potter. You want witches, go and meet Herbert Ogunde. The name of the film, one of the films was Aye. Aye means, you know, like the earth, the world. And when they say that, it means people. That's the inflection. People. Next one was Jayesimi. In the thing, you see human beings turn to vulture. Now, Yoruba culture. In fact, my friend from Imo State, he said those days that there was one practice in their place, civil service. If director retire, two deputy directors are contesting for the post. They say in their place, if they say, who's the other one? When you hear Mr. Shongotola, he said, resign. Because they know the man go use jazz destroy. So in their place, in most they will say, our son, please come home. There's no need. Don't contest that position with that man. He was telling me, my very good friend, Chooks. He said, look, that was the truth. That was the judge. Who? Two of you are deputy director. Director don't retire. Who's the guy? Where's from? Ogun State. I said, Namdi, just resign. Just come home. Because they know, say, hey, now so Namdi will wake up one day, he don't die. Now, what am I going to say? These things, they are real. Those people, I'm not kidding. Did they use to tie destinies? Yes. They used to tie destinies. And I told you, I told you the story here. My mother told me this story here. Her headmaster, my mother was a school teacher, told her a story. That his wife that he married, I met that man, I knew the man, you know. That his wife that he married, when he wanted to marry the woman, her father said no. He pressurized the man, did everything. The man didn't agree. So people told him to go and kill the man. And this man was telling the real story. Now, the part of the story is this. They didn't say you go and shoot him or go and stab him in the back. They told him where to go to have the man killed. And then he went there. The man actually did his cast pellets, did everything, did sacrifices, and put water down. And the man appeared in the water. Not a joke. And gave him a knife and told him to stab it, and the man would die. He said when he looked, either it's water or glass, that when he looked, this, it wasn't a story of somebody told somebody, this was a man telling the story himself. He was telling my mother. He said when he looked at the man, that suddenly pity, he wants to marry his daughter. The man was proving difficult, and people counseled, go and kill him. So told the man, I'm not doing it again. Threw away the knife, said, forget it. And he left. And he had to travel. It's not just backyard. He traveled to the place. So when he came back, to his surprise, the man had changed his mind. You know why I'm telling all of these stories? When people from those areas start churches, and you see what I'm saying? Go and check all those churches that are fighting demons. Check where they came from. These were people that descended from those who fought witches. When you see CAC man, the man came out of CAC. When you see CAC man pray, the way they pray, he said, awesome, which means we are sleeping. It means your enemies are not sleeping. Those guys, when they offer, you never go see a church before. You go pray, your head go explode. They pray so loud to stop them praying. Now bell. Yeah, this is what I do in the name of Jesus. Now you both pray here. Forget that thing. When CAC man wants to pray, it's Benge. Yes, Oluwawa. Amen. No, I'm giving you a background. So you know why some of these people talk the way they do. The man that says, look for your placenta, he knows what they have done with placentas. The man that says, which cloth they used to clean you when you were a baby, they know what people have done with such things. They know. My argument all the time is that they forget one thing. If anyone is in Christ, that's what we are talking about. We are not saying there are no people there. We know. Come on. They do stuff. All those people, when they face themselves, now, which against which they fight. They literally hold people in bondage. Not a joke. They hang people's destinies. They do. They can tell a girl you will never marry, and they're not kidding about it. But let me tell you something. Everything, the Bible says, God has reconciled everything to himself in Christ. And there was something he said here. Paul was speaking. He said, how did God deliver you? Now, okay, there's something I said I wanted to say earlier. He said, he delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. That Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13. Just flip back to it. He said, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. All the stories I told you are stories of the kingdom of darkness in which people could afflict people in that kingdom. Why? It's a kingdom. There's structure. There's authority. So people with power afflict those that don't have. It's a structure. That's that's just the way it is. Then God now says, all right, these people are in there. What do I do? I will deliver them from that kingdom and put them in another kingdom. And how did he do it? It's simple. He said he purchased our freedom. Whatever be the thing that was used to bind them, he paid and took them away and put them in a new kingdom. That's what I preach. That is why a Christian, even if you feel bound, you don't say, who is binding me? You say, nobody can bind me. My freedom has been purchased. I'm not begging for it. Payment has been made. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Second part I want to bring out. Don't forget that it's a kingdom matter. It's which kingdom do you belong in? What annoys me when you hear me talk the way I talk, I told all this story to let you know that I'm not ignorant. I am not ignorant. I am just saying there are kingdom matters. Paul said, what is my job? I labor every time, not by my own strength, but for the strength of Christ that is in me, so that I may help the people of God understand this truth. That's what Paul said. That is, ignorance is what makes them remain in bondage when they don't know they have been delivered. I am saying you don't need to find out who buried your placenta, who used your water with which they bathed you to do anything. All you need to do is stand up and say, thank God, I am no longer in that kingdom. That's all. There's a story I like to tell all the time that Derek Prince talked about, which I love so much because it's one of the most perfect illustrations for this that I have. It's more interesting because he was a white man. This is not like, okay, African mentality. White man. He said a girl gave her life to Christ. She had a familiar spirit. So he was casting the spirit out of the girl. What do you mean by familiar spirit? All these mediums, many of these people that call themselves prophets these days, they use familiar spirit. The other day I was looking at one man on television. I won't tell you his name, even though you can suspect who it is. He was saying, hey, you. This one happened, this one happened. Yes, man of God. This one happened, this one, man of God. Yes, man of God. Hey, Emmanuel. Yes, man of God. I said, I am not impressed. I am not impressed. Familiar spirits have done worse things, so don't come and... And that man has been doing that since he was a little boy. That used to go to one of those churches. So forget that thing. So, you know I'm telling the story. So the reference, so these familiar spirits are real. This woman was being delivered of a familiar spirit. And suddenly he had a vision. That's where I'm going. In that vision, he saw this man praying for him in a car that had an accident. He said, hey, I saw you in a car that was wrecked around a tree. And the man just said to her simply, that is the plan of the devil. I don't walk in the plan of the devil. That's all. That's the whole prayer. I told you, there are prophecies you hear you must never pray about. If you pray about them, you activate them. There are prophecies you hear you don't pray about. If somebody comes to you now, listen to this. This is an instruction. If somebody comes to you now and says that, I saw a vision that you died. Answer the person. Yes, I even had a vision that I died. It is when that you did not see. Who no go die? Who will not die now? If Jesus doesn't come back, who will not die? The only people that will not die are those who will be there when Jesus returns. So somebody dreams that you died. So? Oh, please, pray against the spirit of death. Tell the spirit of death has been broken in Christ Jesus. If anybody tells me to pray against the spirit of death, that's the only thing I do. I remind myself that in Christ Jesus I have been set free from the fear of death. That my life is hid with Christ in God. My life is in the hand of God. God is my witness. It doesn't bother me. I've heard it before. I don't let it bother me. Somebody says that he saw a vision that you died. Tell the person, even me, before the vision, I knew that I died. There are two kinds of death. My old man has died in Christ. Good vision. This one you have seen, we die one day if Jesus does not return. Did your vision tell you the date? If it didn't tell you the date, don't worry about it. Because all of us, we die. I'm not joking about that. That's how I handle it. And that's how you must handle it. Anyway, back to my issue. Derek Prince, casting demon out of the girl said, I saw you in the vision, and you were in a car that was wrecked around the tree. And the man said to her simply, that is the plan of the devil. I don't walk in the plan of the devil. Shikena. He didn't pray about it. There are things you don't pray about. Because when you pray about them, that way you are activate. You are saying you believe them. That's what you are saying. Remember what I'm talking about? Kingdoms. You must know the kingdom you belong in. Many of the things people preach every day, they are messages that are correct for those who are not in the kingdom of Christ. So, if your mother and the neighbor quarreled, and both of them are from rival covens, they can afflict the families of the people from the weaker coven. People say, yeah, their father did one thing, the one juju in the family. It's affecting the children. That's why our gospels don't make sense. Because what are you preaching then? Are you not supposed to preach that come out of them and be separate? And deliverance is just automatically? What have you been preaching? People say you will go to the village and go and break cut down a tree. I said that tree belongs to another kingdom. It's not my tree. Whatever they did in it, is not in my kingdom. Americans have made laws that a man can marry a man. Nigeria made a law. Say if you come here, we'll put you in prison. I mean, so they can make a look. African countries started writing their own laws. Zimbabwe, they wrote, we'll put you in jail. Uganda, we'll put you in jail. Nigeria, we'll put you in jail. Russia said it's even a crime to promote it. Everybody wrote their own law. Law is the kingdom you are in. So if your name is Adam and you are in love with Steve, go to America. Yes. Go to Europe. You can marry there. But once you come here, you are going to prison. You are getting my point. It's a kingdom matter. This kingdom is different. The laws are different. I am a citizen of a new kingdom. Whatever thing they wrote against me does not work in this kingdom. The laws here are different. The law enforcement is different. That's where many preachers make the mistake. They now go to the other kingdom, bring the things and say, do you know? Some people have said you will not achieve this. He said, sir, are they in this kingdom? No. Did Jesus say it? No. Did the Father say it? No. Did the angel say it? No. He said, okay, if Jesus didn't say it and the Father did not say it, then who said it? Who can hold a charge against God's elect? It's a kingdom matter we are discussing. And the Bible says clearly, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and we are now in the kingdom of his son. And he said this was how he did it. What is that scripture we read just now? Was that Ephesians chapter? Okay, yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Colossians chapter 2, yes. That's what we read just now. Colossians chapter 2. He said you were dead, that is subject to death. You were spiritually dead and subject to the powers of the other kingdom. Why? Because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then, God made you alive with Christ and he forgave all our sins, yours and mine. Now listen to this, verse 14. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took that record away. He took that record away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Now listen to this. Have you ever heard people say this? The reason why you have not, your life is tight is because you have not tithed. Verse 16, he settles that. That's the handwriting written against you. It's been nailed to the cross. Listen, let me emphasize something to you here. He said, this was how the power that the devil has in the life of a believer in life of anybody is sin. He had no power. I told you there are only three things the devil can do. Number one, tempt. Two, deceive. Three, accuse. Those are the three things. Temptation and deception are close to each other. When he's deceiving people, is that he wants them to walk away from something. He deceived the woman. She disobeyed God. She walked away by herself from the cover of God's glory. That's what happened. It's only when somebody has fallen into that, that he now receives what the Bible calls the power of death. Because the wages of sin is what? Yes. Is death. That's when the person now is now under the power of death. That's how they get into the kingdom. That's just the way it is. So when God wants to deliver, what he does is to bring payment for their sin. Because God is a judge. He, as judge, cannot deliver you from the oppressor until he satisfies the claim of justice, like we say. Payment must be made. Sin is a spiritual transaction. Every time you get involved in sin, you sell a part of your soul. That's just what it is. Read my little book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. That's what it is. Disobedience to God is the way by which we sell ourselves. And he says, such you were when you were in that kingdom. So you were totally bound. There are all kinds of sins, though, not the one many people are thinking of. Many people have committed sins worthy of death. They don't realize it. They did not lie to their friends, but they walk out on their father. Amongst their friends, they are very innocent people. But then, there's a way they related. They did not honor their parents. It's worthy of, go and read your Bible. There are sons that God said, bring to the center of the square and stone him to death. When they are rebellious against parents. There are all kinds of sins. This is a matter of fact. The devil himself doesn't have any power more than that accusation power. To kill somebody, he has to go and plead before the judgment throne of God. That's reality. So what did God do? He said, if we want to free these people, we have to remove every charge, every record of charges against them. How do we remove it? When they've done penance? When they have done restitution? Answer me now, yes or no?
No.
If I say this, you will surprise yourself. When they have changed their ways, it had to answer. The answer is no. The answer is, how do we forgive them when they come into Christ? A man that changes his ways without coming into Christ is still subject to judgment. His sins have not been paid for. You can just say, no, I'm turning my life around, I'm repenting. What I used to do, I'm not doing anymore. And you stay there. You will still die for the one you did before. The time you become free is when you say to God, I come to you to ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Listen, forgiveness is not free. It is not free. If I'm going on the road and you jam my car, my lights break, and you come and prostrate, sorry, sir, you roll on the ground. Okay, you now say, sorry. And I now say, okay, you can go. The fact that I told you can go does not mean I will not give the panel beater money, the pass dealer money. That you can go, maybe 50,000 naira is costing me.
Yes.
Forgiveness is not free. It's not free. You may not be the one to pay, but it's not free. So when you say you change your ways, like I say all the time, sin is a tangible spiritual substance. It's like you release toxic waste into the atmosphere. It's okay, I will not throw away toxic waste again. The one you threw out, uncle. We have to get people to clean it up. That is why it is not when you change your ways. No. It is when you say to God, in Christ Jesus I have come, forgive me. He forgives you simply because Christ paid. That's it. That's why I tell preachers, be careful before you go around insulting Jesus Christ. Telling people that they need to go to the village to go and break something. What you need to preach to people is that come into Christ. In Christ you have been forgiven. A curse holds people using the same petition of sin. So if somebody comes into Christ, and this is a point, let me just add this one to it. It's not part of our message. Let me. I want to close. These are things that are real in the realm of the spirit, but we have to enforce physically. What I mean is this. You may have experiences that differ. It doesn't mean this is wrong. It just means you have to enforce it. You have to, when they say come, like I tell people when you are in church, they say, yeah, if today you want to be delivered from poverty, come to the front. I say, once you step out, you have first agreed that you are bound to poverty. There are altar calls you make for unbelievers. I'm a pastor of a church, there are things I will never say. Christians, come to the front. Today I want to break poverty out of your life. I say, wait, Jesus will say, Banky, come. Come, let's talk now. You want to break the poverty. When they gave their lives to Christ, what did I do to them? And say, Lord, you know, I need to collect this offering. You understand? You know, when we're looking at the prayers of Paul, you will notice what Paul kept on saying. Paul kept on emphasizing, you need to have knowledge. You need to know, have wisdom. You need to know what God has given you in Christ. So when I wanted to pray for the church, I pray for you that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In the Ephesians church, he said, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. If I want to say, Christians, let's break poverty today, I would tell, say after me, in Christ Jesus, poverty has been broken. It's past tense. You will notice carefully, anytime Paul will be speaking, you say, he has done this. This has he done. In Christ he did. It's always past tense, past tense, past tense, past tense. Always past tense. Always past tense. So a Christian is not allowed to see himself as somebody that needs to have deliverance. It's somebody that needs to say, I have been delivered. Please, I hope we are getting this point. Yes, listen, that is why when you see me disagree with some doctrines, this is my reason. When you tell a Christian, you need to give so you can prosper, you are admitting he has not prospered. I can't accept that. It does not fit the past tense nature of the word of God that I've read about Christ. When Paul was going to write about it, he said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in that he was rich. For your sakes, he is going to become poor. What did he say? Past tense. He was made poor. It's past tense. So that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Listen, this is how you interpret your life. You interpret your life like that. What I mean is that, so, I don't have money now. Listen, anytime, the other day, I was with my children. We were supposed to do something. So, Victory said, all right, let's go. I said, are you holding any money? They wanted me to go and do something. Their mother said, okay, don't worry, daddy will, yeah, you and daddy go and do this, and it's going to cost money. We were supposed to go out somewhere and buy something. I said, I hope you are holding money. Ah, they looked at me like, what do you mean by that? You need a stool and like, oh, daddy, stop this joke. Come on, let's go now. Why are you get my point? Why are you doing like this? It didn't cross their minds that they are poor. That's where I'm going. They didn't have a dime. But it did not cross their minds that they are poor. Ah, their own is, daddy, I beg, come, perform, Joe. What's this one you are doing? And you know the truth? I still remember. They didn't take me serious. And I said, bring one. Oh, daddy, enter the car now. Let's go now. It was like, the whole thing was a joke. These boys are flat broke. Yet, it did not cross their minds that they are poor. I can't remember exactly what we wanted to go and buy that day. It didn't cross their minds that the thing was not doable. Even though physically, they did not have a cover. But their own is that this guy has the money. And if he has the money, I have the money. The money may not be with me right now. I will just go and knock on his door and say, daddy, how far now? You know, you said that if I say, okay, later, he will go. Then come back after. Daddy, we are dressed too. The fact that they don't have money, it doesn't make it cross their mind that they are poor. Why do Christians who are broke not assume because of that I'm under a curse?
Are you getting my point? Listen, it's what you know you use to interpret the circumstances of your life. My children, they were so aware that, look, this guy is there. He's with us. Forget his pretense. He has money in his pocket. And of course, you know the truth? As painful as it may be, they were right. There are times you want to prove that they are wrong, but they are right. Eventually, I had to oblige. Okay, everybody enter the car. Let's go. You know that kind of thing? Correct, daddy. Yeah, come on. You know that kind of thing? Perform. You know that kind of thing? They've never earned money. It doesn't cross their minds that they are poor. If you go to school and they say, okay, everybody pay 5,000 naira. And the teacher say, Akinle, where's your own? What's the answer? I will tell my daddy. You know, you understand what I'm saying? That's the mentality. He doesn't cross his mind that he's poor. If he doesn't pay that money for a whole term, it will not cross his mind that he's poor. He just keeps wondering, you go and tell him, why is daddy not releasing this money? That's why the Bible says we have to receive the kingdom like a little child. That's our children. They don't say, you see, in this family, I'm cursed. Why? You say we should pay money in school, I have not paid. There's a curse upon my life. So I don't know why that is refusing me. Maybe he's angry with my teacher. He will find every other explanation, but he will never think the fact that he can't pay means he's poor. Listen, that's what Paul, when Paul will be talking, that's why I kept on using past tense. Past tense. He will say, you were raised together with him. He delivered, is D, delivered you out of the kingdom of darkness. And now you are now in the kingdom of his son. So if you sleep at night, they say, witches are pressing you at night. You wake up, say, you press me, you go back to sleep. Say, guys, rearrange. That dream was not correct. I need to press you guys back. We rewind the dream. How can you be pressing me? What kind of thing is that? No, really, you will find every other explanation. I told you, let me end with this. Just so for us to understand what we mean when we say we're in Christ. One of my children, my very good friends, I told this story many times. The son died. Little baby. Baby died. An infant. And the neighbor came and said, ha, madam, we have found out that the other woman, mentioned another woman living nearby. The pastors have found out. She didn't say pastor, I'm the one adding pastor. So we have found out that she's a witch. And she's the one that killed your child. Of what do you expect? Natural person say, eh? Listen, tell the children, don't go near that woman. When you see on the road, you won't greet her next time. No. My friend said she burst into laughter. She started laughing and laughed. That is, she found it so funny. My wife, don't worry. No witch can kill my child. The child is dead, though. But it didn't cross her mind. My child? Witch? Madam, come and tell the woman, come and start going. There's no need. You brought this news to the wrong place. Come and start going. No witch. Do you get my point? No witch, she said to the woman straight. Say, look, whatever be the problem between me and my God and my faith, I will sell that one out. But please don't add that one, don't add that ridiculous joke to it. That's why Christians will go to church every day, wasting precious time they should be using to pray that the gospel might spread in Zamfara. Precious time they should be using to pray that the gospel might spread in their neighborhood. They used to say, all my enemies that said I will not prosper. When you pray like that, you are saying they can say it. There are prayers, I'm not lying to you, I have never uttered. But the way I pray, my mother, that any enemy that says I will not prosper, try. You've heard me say it before, many times. Remember the story of my bat? Remember that my pet?
Yes, sir.
Many people have not heard it before. They're looking at me. It didn't cross my mind it could be a witch. My door was locked. My windows had mosquito nets. Everywhere was closed. I remember that day because it was a hot day and my AC was on. Because of that, the door to the balcony was shut. The window was shut. On top of that, I had mosquito net. Yet a bat appeared inside the bedroom. And my wife said it casually.
She was lying down. Me, I was standing up. It was Bishop that came to visit Daddy and his wife. And he said, oh, Sibat. I remember her voice. Oh, Sibat. Very casual. You know the way African woman will have jumped. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire against them. They have come. My wife just looked. I said, oh, Sibat. I said, where is it? And I just saw something. Phew. That time he entered the wardrobe. I closed the door on it. Later on, I came, retrieved it, and threw it away. And I made a joke with my wife. I said, okay, you're lucky. Your husband does not go to MFM. Otherwise, sleep this night, impossible. And what, yeah? All the witches that they came, you will not go and testify on Sunday. Yesterday, I was in the room with my husband, and they came. Who are they? And they manifested as bats. But God said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. The whole night, my husband and I began to pray, and we're feeling them moving backwards. This morning, we woke up. In fact, I was wrong. There's something that should have happened. And this morning, when we woke up, we found out we had a victory at the cost of our voice. You know, I pray, how I pray my own prayer. I say, if you're a witch, if you can cross my fence, cross it. That's all. Are you getting my point? That is what it means. When I say, interpret your life. Are you getting my point? Interpret your life with the knowledge of truth. What you know, not how you feel. Look, let's just bow our heads and just say, Father, thank you for freedom. Now, in Christ, we are free. Let's just bow down and say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm free. Lord, I thank you. No matter how I feel, I'm free. Particularly, thank God because I'm not poor. Say, Lord, I thank you. I'm not poor. I'm not poor. I'm not poor. I may not have money in my pocket. I'm not poor. Just like pastor's children, they didn't think they were poor. You are my father. So I don't think, if you have not given me that money, I will come and remind you. My teacher is asking for it, but I'm not poor. I will not accept there's a curse of poverty in my life. No, no, no. Say, like Paul, I speak with past tense. Let's rise to our feet so we can close. Let's just declare this word. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am in Christ. Say, in the name of Jesus, my sins were washed away. In the name of Jesus, I have been delivered. Say, use that past tense properly. Say, I have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. Say, now I am in the kingdom of his dear son. I am in the kingdom of his dear son. I am in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, my sins, the record of ordinances, the record of charges written against me has been washed away. It has been nailed to his cross. I have been set free. Say, in that way, he set me free. In that way, he disarmed the principalities. In that way, he disarmed the devil. He disarmed demons. In that way, he disarmed the witches. They don't have power again. Over me. Say, over me. They don't have power. Why? Say, why?
Because
sins are gone. Forgiveness has come. Redemption has come. Payment has been made. Now I am free. I am free to serve God. I am free to succeed. I am free to serve God. I am free to succeed. Say, my sicknesses have been taken away. Say,
I am healed
from the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Strength is my portion.
Healing is my portion.
Strength is my portion.
Healing is my portion.
Say, the life of Christ
is walking in me.
The life of Christ
is walking in me.
Say, the kingdom of darkness
cannot rule in my life.
I'm in another kingdom. Say, no matter who they are,
no matter what they say,
once it's not in agreement with Christ,
once
they are not in Christ, they don't have power over me. Say, I am
not afraid
because I know I am free.
It's what I know.
It's not how I feel.
It's what I know.
Say, prosperity is coming
because I am free.
Say, poverty
is on the cross.
It was buried.
It did not rise again.
Say, prosperity rose.
And I rose with him.
Therefore, poverty is gone.
Say, productivity has come.
I am productive.
Grace is with me.
I can do all things
because I'm in Christ.
Just wave your hand and say, Lord, thank you.
Say, Lord, I thank you.
Our Father, we give you thanks.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Are we ready?
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Please quickly bless somebody on your left or your right. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.